T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey now, Semper Fi, welcome into this Tuesday edition of Sports Talk here on WWL. Bobby's taking a little time to mourn the passing of his father. He'll be back tomorrow. Mark Menard at Master Control. Show's outside today, outside the home today. Had to get some fresh air. Deuce McAllister will hang out with us from the 5 to 6 o'clock hour. Plenty to talk about. Glenn Gilbo covering LSU and the Saints for USA Today, a big HBO special that could make some problems, create some problems for Will Wade and LSU basketball, set to air tonight. We'll find out what the projected impact that might be. Lance Moore for our Saints Hour, former Saints wide receiver and Super Bowl champion. The Community Coffee Saints Hour coming up at 7 o'clock, and also we'll have NFL analyst Mike Dettillier breaking down some draft questions throughout the 7 o'clock hour. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870, as you heard there in the Sports Flash. NFL owners voted to approve a seventh team in each conference will qualify for the playoffs. In other words, one team in the NFC, one team in the AFC, so the field will go from 12 total to 14 total. And, you know, yesterday I was sitting here kind of being a little bit of a curmudgeon about it, but it's more football. I'll take more football. I'll gladly have more football on. Heck, we could sure use it right about now. Here's another thing, too. You know, I know ESPN's going to re-air the reopening of the Superdome matchup in September, on September 25th, 2006, when the Saints opened the Superdome in Week 3 on Monday Night Football against the Atlanta Falcons. And it was a tremendous moment for this city. It was a signal that, hey, indeed, New Orleans is turning a corner and recovering from Hurricane Katrina. You know what? Here's what would be neat, I think. If you're going to watch that game, and, you know, maybe your kids, they weren't around when that moment happened. And it was one of the greatest moments in Superdome history, right? And in particular, Saints history as well. And I think it'd be cool to watch it with your kids, get up, get all dressed up like you do for Saints game day. Obviously, you're going to practice social distancing, but have a little tailgate at your house. Do stuff like that. Get all your Saints gear on. Make sure you're being safe and social distancing and all that good stuff. But if you're quarantining with your family, then there's no problem with, you know, doing something like that. I think it would be kind of neat. You know, everybody on Monday, wear black and gold. Wherever you are, watch the game. And remember those moments. And look, you know, some are going to say, well, how could you be talking about football? Or how could you think about football right now? I get it. I get that question. But here's the other part, is I think that we need some distraction. We need to press the pause button about this stuff from time to time. It's healthy. That's what sports is. And unfortunately, there's no live sporting competitions on right now, so we don't have that respite. And I think that on Monday, it's a good chance to get that. And you already, some of you, most of you already know the outcome of that game, but I have a 13-year-old that wasn't born yet. He'll get to watch that game and see the significance of that game. I know he could have done that anyway, but now he's really going to be interested in doing that. So, you know, watch it on Monday. Put on your Saints gear. Tailgate at the house. Have some fun. Distract yourself a little bit from COVID-19. Certainly, stay informed, and I'm not trying to downplay the significance of it or anything like that. I think it's healthy for us to get distractions. And you can still stay informed. Just like, for example, last night, I went through and watched like four episodes of Football Life. Bill Parcells, I've seen that before. Barry Sanders, Ricky Williams, and Bill Belichick. I watched those. So I just think that we're all begging for it, right? We're all begging for time. And I'm sure to some it could be perceived as insensitive, but I'm not talking about in Louisiana. Other parts of the country would think that we're being insensitive, and I would disagree. This is what New Orleans does. We get through things, and in particular in this country, we get through things. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Where would you put Drew Brees? We're going to rank the quarterbacks, all the starting quarterbacks in the NFL. We have Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3, and Tier 4. Tier 1 is still kind of at the elite level. Tier 2 is basically just outside of elite and really good. Tier 3 is average, and the team probably needs an upgrade. And Tier 4 is gots to go. He got to go. Cast your vote in our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. Where would you put Drew Brees? Which tier would you put him in? Also, you can weigh in on the phone lines at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. And, yes, he's still in Tier 1 for me. Some are going to argue. Go right ahead. He's still Tier 1 to me. Now, is he at the top of Tier 1? That's a different question. He's still up there. And how about the news today from Sean Payton on ESPN's Get Up? He says that, I don't want to misquote him here, so let me pull up the story. But he basically said on ESPN's Get Up with Mike Greenberg that he was talking about, you know, the team, et cetera. And he said he's announced, and he's saying he, meaning Drew, has announced he's coming back for his final season, which is a bit surprising just because Sean typically doesn't say stuff like that. And I would venture a guess that Drew would probably want to announce that more so than Sean. So we'll get clarity tomorrow. He's having a conference call tomorrow with the local media. This is when the NFL owners meetings would be taking place. So we would have about an hour with him via his NFC coaching breakfast that they do at the owners meeting. So maybe we'll get clarity. Is that accurate, and did he mean to say it that way, or perhaps he was misunderstood? All right, this is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, and once again, Mark, who do we have on hold? I'm sorry, I have a bad memory right now. Who we got?
David Uptown.
David Uptown, what's going on, David? You're on WWL.
Kirsten, man, Tier 1, elite, whatever you call it, Drew is always Tier 1. Without a doubt. He could bomb this year, and he would still be Tier 1.
Well, I mean, you can't say that. You can't say he would bomb and still be Tier 1. I don't think you're going to see that.
But he's
not at the top of Tier 1. He's middle towards the end of Tier 1, but that's not a bad thing. He's still elite. He's still a top 10 quarterback in this league. There will be others that will try to convince me otherwise, and they'll try to sell or text me or call me and sell me on the idea that, oh, his arm strength isn't very good anymore. It never was. It wasn't great. Never was great arm strength.
He's top five, Kristen.
Okay. Fine. If you feel like he is, I'm not going to argue with you.
Right now, he's running out.
Wait, what did you say you cut out? Hello? All right, sounds like we lost him. Which tier would you put Saints quarterback Drew Brees in? Tier 1, elite. Tier 2, not elite, but very, very good. Tier 3, average. Tier 4, has to go. 91% are saying Tier 1. Of course. 4% are going to say Tier 3, average. And Tier 4, 4%, he has to go. That's unreal. I never thought, and I know these polls are hanky because you know, it's on the internet and people could be voting on this thing that live in California or live in North Dakota or wherever. But it's weird to see 4% he has to go. And it's laughable. It's laughable in a lot of ways. Because it's just people that are doing that are trolling or they just really have something against Drew Brees, something about him that they don't like. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. You can text us as well at 870-870. Right now, the New England Patriots, the Saints and the Patriots had the most stable situation at quarterback over the last 13, 14 years. Now the Patriots are looking for a quarterback. Jarrett Stidham, I mean, I haven't seen enough of him. I don't know. I would probably say he's a tier three, average. I haven't seen enough of him. I mean, Sam Darnold, I'm starting in the AFC East. Sam Darnold, the Jets, right now he's still a tier three. He hasn't done enough. He hasn't done enough for me to put him in tier two where he's very good. I haven't seen enough from him to put him in that category. Now, I think that the hope is that they want him to be elite. At times, he looks like a tier two guy, but right now he's average. Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, I'd say he's the bottom end of tier two. And because, look, if you watched him play last year, he's a unique, he's got a unique skill set. Big old guy, 6'5", 237. He can absolutely fling it. And he got the Bills, he had some success last year with the Bills. It was, you know, I think he's above average, but not at the top of tier two where he's very, very good. He's starting to become that. Of course, the Miami Dolphins, we all know where they stand with a quarterback. They don't have one. And there's reports out today that the Dolphins are going to try to do whatever they can to get to the number one spot. Then it becomes a question of, is it Tua or is it Joe Burrow? Because there was this whole thought process that the Dolphins were going to tank for Tua this year. They were so in love with him. So they trade up with the Bengals and take Tua. Because here's the thing. I would hope that they picked Joe Burrow if they did trade up, because I would much rather see Joe Burrow in Miami than with the Cincinnati Bengals, just because of, I think it's a better run organization. The Bengals, we talked about it yesterday with Zach, and they're so poorly run that, man, it just makes you wonder if, you know, if he's going, if his, basically his career is going to die before he even gets going in Cincinnati. Eric in the Marigny, what's going on, Eric? You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian, man, thank you for keeping the flame going and, you know, giving us something to think about other than all the obvious. And that's kind of the point of my call. You mentioned, like, watching the Saints game at the Superdome. And here's my story, man. It's quick. And you and I have talked before. Your dad was a tanker. I'm a tanker. We texted back and forth. So, and you're a grunt, so you get it. So here's the deal.
Thanks for your service,
like,
man.
You know, sometimes when you're out in the middle of the suck and it's just horrible, you do things to pass time. You play cards. You play games. You do whatever to get your mind off of it. And it's necessary. It's absolutely essential. And as far as football goes, when I was a kid, I grew up in Baltimore, and the Colts left in the middle of the night, and it broke my heart. And I didn't watch professional sports for years, because I asked my dad, like, Dad, how can this happen? I was a kid at the time. Just like what you said, you got a 13-year-old son. I think I was about 13-year-old then. And my dad said, hey, son, it's just a business. Which is true, but it's important. And the first time I really started following sports again was when I came back to New Orleans after Katrina. I was at that game. I was at the Superdome, and it was one of the most electrifying, invigorating things I've ever experienced in my life. And I'm so glad that I was there. And it's amazing.
Yeah. Look,
hello.
First off, thanks for your service. And
back at you, brother.
Made some great points. And, you know, we do need it.
We do.
And it heals people.
People call it blood and circus.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. Look, I think it helps heal or at least distract us. Because, look, if you sit in your house, and think about what they're asking us to do, and I think everybody should do what they're asking us to do. But sit in our homes for extended periods of time, and if you sit in front of the TV or the computer, and all you're doing is watching the news and listening to you know, the numbers come in. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but if you're doing it all day, man, you'll go crazy. You will go nuts. I mean, I've been playing basically like blackjack online, things like that, watching documentaries, watching a little bit of Impractical Jokers, just trying to get my mind off things that make me laugh and not have to sit there and go, oh, man, what's the bad news coming today? You know, so I think football is a part of that. Sports is a part of that where you can step away from the I don't want to call it madness because it sounds like I'm downplaying it. Step away from the negativity and everything that's gone on with this COVID-19 thing. I welcome it, and you know, I think it's pretty neat that ESPN is doing that. And plus, hey, check it out. We get to watch the Falcons lose again. How great is that? I mean, even though you've seen them, you might have seen that game, but anytime you get to watch the Falcons lose in anything, it's great. I mean, that'll bring a smile to your face every day of the week. So you get to watch them lose that game again. You get to witness, once again, one of the most iconic moments in Saints franchise history with Steve Gleason's blocked punt, which, by the way, anybody ever think about what would have happened if the play before that on third down, Mike Vick fumbles and Scott Fujita was almost there to scoop it up, but he couldn't quite get a handle on it and was out of bounds? Think about how that maybe could have changed the entire complexion of the game. Pelicans Primer with Mark Menard is next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Time now for Pelicans Primer with WWL's Mark Menard. And it's with an M because he still gets referred to as Mark Bernard. Pelicans Primer brought to you by OnPath Federal Credit Union. You know the why. We know the way. Learn more at bankingwithdirection.org. Mark, give me some positive news about the Pelicans and in particular the NBA.
I don't know if I got anything positive, so to speak, but nothing totally negative either. First of all, let me just say the Bernard thing has been happening my whole life. I'm used to it. So, yeah, Bernard is a much more common name here in America than Menard, which is a more French thing. So if we were in France, I'd probably be in the clear. But here in America, the Bernard thing happens a lot. Not a big deal. Anyway, moving on. The NBA is taking its cues kind of from China right now because the Chinese Basketball Association, the CBA, is trying to restart their league. And they were originally set to restart here very soon, and they've had a setback. So now they're saying they are going to restart their league at some point, but now it's looking more like the end of April, maybe in May. And look, this is a test case for all the professional sports leagues here in America. So they're watching closely what the CBA is going to do in China and whether or not they'll be able to get back up and running. And right now it's still kind of in limbo, that the original start date, which I'm not sure what the original start date was per se, but I do know it's been pushed back, and now they're looking at towards the end of April, which is, about a month away, and maybe into May to see when they can restart. And obviously the NBA will take a look at when they shut their league down and how long it took them to get back up and running, and that'll give them some type of timetable as to when they can get their own league back up and running. But they're also waiting to see what happens when the CBA comes back and if there's, a relapse in the league of the coronavirus, making another round through the players and what happens if fans are reintroduced to the situation. So there's a lot to look at here with the CBA restart and the fact that they've decided to push it back a little bit further. That tells the NBA maybe they need to, rethink their plans in terms of, when they can get restarted. So it's all in flux, but the CBA does still plan to come back. Look, Stephon Marbury still plays in the CBA, and he told Rachel Nichols on ESPN that the severity of it, they don't want a resurgence of the virus. They're taking all the precautions. They're getting everybody tested. He says he's already been tested twice, and so he hasn't come down with it yet.
Who's this now? Stephon Marbury?
Stephon Marbury, yeah. So This is a case that they're looking at, to determine when they can get restarted. Some good news for the NBA. The Lakers had been in quarantine, and they have now been medically cleared. They had two players from their team test positive. They never did come out and say who they were, But the medical staff has now cleared all of their players as symptom-free. So, you know, that's another step in the direction of getting the NBA back on the court. Obviously, you know, the Knicks owner, James Dolan, tested positive over the weekend. So it's still kind of making its rounds through the NBA, and we'll have to see how long it takes for everybody associated with the NBA to be cleared. One other thing that I've got for you today, Christian, and I don't know if you have started watching Tiger King on Netflix.
I've heard everybody. No, I haven't yet. Before you go any further, hold on.
Yeah.
So I've heard mixed reviews on this thing.
Okay.
Like, some people really love it, and then some people are like, it's kind of weird. But anyway, I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to, though.
It's weird. It's crazy. It's one of those escapist entertainment ventures where it's like you can't believe all this stuff actually happened, but it's all real life. It's actually a documentary, but it's just a documentary about some of the most whacked out situations that you could imagine going through this community of people who own large cats. And so there's one central figure that they all tend to dislike very much, and she's an animal activist, but she also has her own tiger reserve, kind of, but it's not really the what you would think of in terms of like an actual reserve. It's really more along the lines of what she denigrates everybody else for, which is these smaller cages housing these tigers on a property that she owns. So it's a big thing, but the way it ties into the NBA is that the very first episode, you know, they're trying to introduce you to the main character of this show, a guy named Joe Exotic, and he's in Oklahoma, and he's got this private zoo of all these types of different big cats and a lot of tigers, and a crew that works with him and all this stuff. Well, they show Shaquille O'Neal on this program where, you know, they've got footage of him touring the place a couple of times. They've got footage of him going on TNT's NBA show talking about the Tiger Reserve and, you know, shouting out Joe Exotic and talking about the money he's put down to help, you know, care for these tigers. So he had to come out and say on his podcast, a big podcast with Shaq, that you know, he's been to the place. But despite what the documentary makes it sound like, he's never bought any tigers from Joe Exotic. He doesn't own any tigers. He's just a big fan of tigers. And look, he went to LSU. Why wouldn't he be a big fan of tigers? So he says, you know, he put money down to help, you know, care for their tigers. But then after spending a little time with the guy and realizing that, you know, some of the stuff that he was into, which you find out, you know, over the course of this documentary, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but he figured out that this wasn't a guy that he really wanted to do a lot of business with and associate much with, and so he backed off, and he hasn't really, you know, been around Joe Exotic in a number of years. But he still puts down money at zoos all over the country to help care for tigers, and he loves tigers, but he doesn't own any, and he certainly hasn't had any dealings with Joe Exotic in quite a while. So
I would not want to own a tiger. Anything that can eat me, all right, I don't want to own.
Look, I'm with you. I don't understand these people that have this taste for these exotic animals that they keep, you know, around them, and they go and play with them all the time. And look, all these people,
at any one point in time, Mark, that tiger could go, I'm going to kill him, and I'm going to eat him. I'm hungry.
Well, and look, there's an incident that takes place.
It's not like a feline where it's impossible. They're not going to do it. They haven't been domesticated. My goodness. Anyway.
These documentarians followed around Joe Exotic and a bunch of these other tiger people for about 5 years. And there is an incident that I got to see on one of these episodes. I think we're about two episodes in of a seven-episode series here, my wife and I. And there's an incident. I'm not going to get into it, but there's an incident where somebody gets pretty hurt pretty bad by one of these tigers. And so it gets documented there, too.
Yeah, there's no, you know, to be honest with you, I really don't know if I'm going to watch this. Just because I think it's stupid that you would have a tiger as a pet. I think it's dumb.
Look, it's wild.
A dumb idea. And to be honest with you, I hate to sound really, but it's almost like one of these deals where one of these tigers are going to eat somebody, right? You just said somebody got injured. They're going to eat and kill somebody, and then we're going to go, and the reaction is going to be, well, don't have tigers as pets. No, go figure. How about that?
Well,
I mean, let them go in the wild. That's the thing, too. I'm not a big fan of, you know, outside of the cat and dog maybe, yeah, outside of a cat and dog, I'm not a big fan of keeping anything that belongs in the wild.
Look, I'm with you there, but in terms of whether or not you watch this documentary, I'm just going to say that there's some pretty eccentric people here, and it's been an interesting watch the first two episodes. I can't judge it totally. I haven't finished it. I can report back to you when I'm done with it, and we got five more episodes to go, but so far it's been kind of a wild ride, and I see why people are gravitating towards it, because, you know, you're looking for any type of escape right now, and we know that there's not a lot going on in terms of sports as an escape. There's not going to be a lot in terms of, you know, television and movies as an escape, because that's all been shut down as well, and so people are going to find these niche programming options, and some of them are going to get pretty popular, and I can see why this is one of them.
Yeah, I'm not watching it.
maybe once I've seen the whole thing, I can pick something out that'll sway you. We'll see.
Cats are dangerous. Have you seen this guy get attacked when he opened his PS4? That's on the text line at 870-870. I've never heard of a domesticated cat killing and eating a human being. Never heard of it. Now, will they scratch you? Could they bite you? Will they? Yes, they can, and they have. But they can't, in one fell swoop, basically sever, cut you in half, claw you to where they decapitate you. All right, another text here says, 5112 says, definitely watch it. It's hilarious. Would you say it's funny?
There's definitely some funny moments, and look, it's real life. It's these people's, you know, actual lives, but some of the things they do are so out there that you can't help but laugh. And look, they all have online presences where they've put themselves out there, and there's a couple of intriguing, I'd say, music videos that have been made where they're pretty laughable, and it's like, man, why did they think this was a good idea? But it's one of those. It's a little awkward, but it's funny because it's a little awkward, and it's hard to turn away once you start getting into it.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's a wrap for Tiger King breakdown.
Tiger King Primer
and Pelican's Primer, brought to you by OnPath Federal Credit Union. You know the why. We know the way. Learn more at bankingwithdirection.org. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, to the phones we go. Don on the North Shore. What's going on, Don? You're on WWL.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. So I got a Tiger story for you. I went to high school just outside of Atlanta, Georgia, in Douglas County. And my neighbor was Red Palmer, and me and his son were very, very close. Red invented the tranquilizer gun, so he had lots of wild cats, and he wasn't like them. It wasn't for public to see or nothing like that, but he had tigers and lions and even had hyenas. He had a bear. He had a Kodiak bear at one time. but I got pictures of me still when I was a teenager feeding the tigers and letting one of the cubs suck on my thumb and everything. But I've got a funny, funny story for you. So summer, and my friend in Red and his mom and the mom all go off to vacation. And while they went on vacation, somebody tried to break into their house, and they went onto their property. The guy broke into the house, and when he came out, I guess there was one of the tigers that happened to have been on the front porch when he was coming out the house. And the guy ran back inside and called 911. Had to stay in the house for 3 days waiting for Red to show back, waiting for them to get home, because the sheriff's office would not go on the property without Red and them first. Because they let one of the grown male tigers would roam the property. How'd you like to be that burglar?
Well, first off, I'm not going to be any burglar. Second off, though, that is funny. But again, like, the idea of anybody wanting to keep one of these animals, even if it's an animal that can't necessarily eat you or kill you, if they are not a cat or a dog, or buying, you know, I get a hamster, maybe even a rabbit, but outside of that, you know, like, the idea of having monkeys to me as pets doesn't.
Well, you got to realize what Red did too, though. Red invented the tranquilizer gun, so, and he sold these guns and these tranquilizers, and he was using them to perfect on the different size animals and everything. So he sold to zoos all over the world, as well as, and normal zoos, like the Audubon Zoo was actually one of his clients, you know, and Barnum and Bailey Circus, as well as Sheriff's Office and other animal control agencies. So for him, it wasn't, he was keeping, some of them were pets, don't get me wrong, but that wasn't the main purpose of them. The main purpose was his business of tranquilizer because he didn't believe in killing animals.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it was a very interesting high school years because we moved out there when I was in high school and just go play with the Tigers.
All right, man. Well, thanks for sharing that, Don.
Take care.
All right. You know, normally radio is so extemporaneous that you never can totally predict what you're going to be talking about, but it's even more so these days with no sports and we're all bottled up in our homes and we're talking about Tiger Kings more so than we've talked about sports this hour. Look, I just think I'm getting all these texts saying you should watch it, you should watch it, you should watch it. It's a total train wreck. I'd rather watch, for me, you know, I think in this moment that we're all in, I don't want to see things that would heighten my anxiety, if that makes sense. Sports doesn't heighten my anxiety. Sports documentaries don't heighten my anxiety. Reading about history, I've started diving in on World War II history. And, you know, that's more, to me, that's stuff that kind of puts me at peace to be learning or get a little educated. And then rewatching games as well, but also a football life and that kind of stuff certainly is interesting. That's how I choose to pass my time. I'm not going to ultimately watch this. You can hear neighbor's dog barking like crazy. He's going for a ride. But nonetheless, yeah, I'm just not going to watch it. I'd rather devote my time elsewhere to things that are going to perhaps help me in this job where I can, you know, learn some things about a football player or a coach that I didn't already know or a part of the game that I didn't already know, regardless of sport. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. I just don't want any drama right now. I guess that's the best way I could put it. I'd rather watch something that informs me or makes me laugh or makes me smile. That's why I mix in a little Impractical Jokers in there as well, because that's my show right now that I am totally addicted to. And I did go see the movie before we all went on lockdown. The movie's better than any of the shows. It's really good. Anyway, look, coming up next hour, Deuce McAllister, Saints color analyst, will join us for the entire hour. If you want to ask him a question relative to the Saints, feel free at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Also, the news of Sean Payton saying that Drew is coming back for his final season in 2020. And the NFL has also decided to add a playoff team in each conference. So the field goes from 12 to 14. And only the one seed would get the bye, which I don't like. I just don't. But then again, I'll take more football. I'll take that. We're dying for football. We're dying for any sport right now. But I'll take more football in the fall for sure. Wild card weekend, absolutely. I wasn't a big fan of it just because I don't like – I think you run the risk of making the playoffs not as special as it was. But I actually think by having the one seed – here I am talking myself out of my own argument – by having the one seed, it places a bigger, even bigger emphasis on the one getting the one seed. Because now, not as many teams can shut it down on week 17. If they know that they're the two seed and they can't advance past the two, and they're locked in at the two, then they're not gonna play their starters. If you're the one seed, you might not be able to sit as much either. You might not be able to rest because that two seed could be that game could make the difference. They're just trying to make the stakes even higher of the regular season, and I think that's eventually what they're doing or have done by doing this. Joe, LSU Joe in Biloxi. What's going on, Joe? You're on WWL.
Hey, my man. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, look, I hope you, your family, everybody is safe and abiding by the crazy rules that we're having to deal with. But look, just wanted to talk NFL draft with you and what you thought the number of LSU players would be in the first round?
I'm thinking, I was going through this a little bit the other day, Patrick Queen's in that mix, Christian Fulton, Justin Jefferson, Joe Burrow, Grant Delpit, Caleb Arshasson, 6-7, maybe even 8.
It's just it's amazing to think when we all look back how much talent was on that team at one time and how much talent could have come back next year. Pretty amazing. Well, good talking to you. Hang in there. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. I'm not even going to read that text, 70-18. It's just you're really trying to bait me, and I'm not taking the bait. Give me a break. You knew what I meant, and it wasn't out of poor taste. Give me a break. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Where would you put Drew Brees in our tier rankings of quarterbacks? 1, 2, 3, or 4? 1 being elite, 2 being not quite elite, but still very, very good, 3 being average, and 4, he has to go. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.